Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Third and Foot Long Show here on Planet FM 104.6. My name's Darren Lees.
And I'm DT. How are you, Darren?
I'm good, DT. You are looking very colourful today, I may add.
Thank you. I got it dyed. It was quite fun, pink.
When did you get that done?
Saturday.
Very nice. For those that don't know what we're talking about, you're going to have to go to the YouTube channel now to go and watch DT's amazingly colourful hair. How did you describe your colour?
I was told it was lilac magenta.
Nice.
Yep.
As a colourblind person, I can't offer any argument to that description whatsoever.
Honestly, it's just pinky purple.
You kept it covered up when you came in, and then off came the cap.
That's because it was rainy. When I left my house, it was rainy, and then I normally just wear, instead of taking an umbrella everywhere, I normally wear a cap, as you well know, because I wear a cap quite a lot of places.
All the time.
And then I have a specific cap for tonight, which is the Texans, because we're talking about the lovely AFC South.
So welcome to the show, everybody. As always, get onto our socials. If you want to be part of our food poll, follow our Facebook page. If you want to see me and DT doing things that certainly people of my age shouldn't be doing, then get onto our TikTok and Instagram channel. And then for the podcast version, you can listen on Spotify and most good and average podcast networks. And then for the video of this show, get yourself onto YouTube and subscribe.
Good job, Darren.
Thank you. I kind of give it my best every week. And the number just keeps ticking up and ticking up and ticking up. So it's either out of, will he just stop saying that line at the start of the show? Or,
never.
All right, I'll give them a go.
Boop.
Boop. There you go. So, yes, weekend, good?
Yeah, it was good. My hair took up a whole day. So
a whole day?
Yeah, normally when I get my hair dyed, it normally takes like 6.5 hours.
Wow.
So I just read my book.
6.5 hours. Do you just have, like, aggressively, what's the word I want to do? Obstinate hair that goes, I refuse to change colour.
No, it's just bleach dye toner.
Wow. 6 hours.
Yes.
Man. Mm-hmm. Here's me that goes and 25 minutes later. But
you
I have
drive.
Naturally coloured hair, though.
But you do drive.
I know, I do drive 3 hours return to get my hair cut. I know, what an idiot, right? But you come and say thanks to me for the warmer weather.
What?
With all of my pollution of the atmosphere, I am global warming.
What do you mean, because if you have shorter hair, you'll be warmer or something? And I was like, well, okay.
The world is warm, but I am growing my hair.
Are you going all the way?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, I'm not going Trevor Lawrence, no.
I was hoping you would not.
No, I am not going Trevor Lawrence.
Rock a man bun?
No, no man buns. No. No.
What are you growing it for? Any reason or?
I just fancied a change.
Okay.
When you get to my age, there's a very limited amount of things you can do with your hair.
Well, I dyed my hair pink, so I can't really say anything about wanting to change.
We are distinctively different ages, though.
Yes.
There is a number of decades between us.
Like three.
I know, it's very kind of you to go, three. There's three, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you are a child of
the last century.
That's right.
Not this century. Don't
put
me in that crowd.
Not far off, though.
No, not far off.
Not far off.
Don't put me in the century.
Oh, well, we're not quite 3 decades then.
No, we're not.
No.
We are soon, though.
It's getting close. Don't do this to me. I've got to last another 56 minutes. Broken. And not only that, this weekend I have spent the weekend answering complaints about our food takes.
Was this about mine or yours?
Yours.
Oh, thank you.
I did want to say ours, but to try and take the away from you.
That's fine.
Next week we may have a guest on the show that wants to talk about food takes.
You never answer my question if it's in studio or
It's probably going to be on the phone.
Okay.
I think it's better for all of us.
That's fine.
None of
us
have to look at each other. We'll just get them to dial
in. It's not John, is it?
It's not John. Ugh. John will never come on the show.
I wasn't sure.
Even on the phone, John would never come on the show. I've tried everything. He's not coming on the show. Craig Westenberg, stand-up comedian, recently supported Amro on his recent tour, has words to say about our food takes. So I think, given he's on the up-and-coming slope of comedy, that we should invite him on to talk about his takes.
So he can't come into the studio?
No, because he doesn't finish work till 6:30.
Oh.
And cannot get here
mm-hmm.
from Newmarket in time for the food part because it's the start of the show.
We could always flip it for him.
Well, to flip it to the back.
Yeah.
Wow. I'll make that offer.
You can.
I'll make that offer. But we'll get them on the show anyway to talk about food tax. On top of that, England bowed out the World Cup, but did win the bronze medal, which is summer. And then I was at the rugby on Saturday night. I was at the Warriors versus St. George game. Not because I'm a Warriors fan. I am a St. George fan. I am. And I was trying to explain the rules to my wife, who was also at the game. And I had to explain them in NFL ways. This is weird, right? But I said to her, rugby league is as close to the NFL as any other sport. So I was having to, she was like, oh, so what's happening here and there? And after about 15 minutes, she's like, this is really weird. You're explaining this game to me as if it's NFL. And I went, because it's probably the best that I can make the explanation of the game. So she's like, you know, why do they just keep kicking it away? I said, because it's like the NFL, turnover on downs. If you don't make something happen and you get tackled on the sixth tackle, it's turnover on downs. Oh, what happens when they get tackled behind the line? Why'd they kick it away? Well, it's almost like a safety. They kind of, you know, and I was having, and it was kind of weird explaining rugby league as the NFL.
I had this poll past couple of weeks. People keep coming out to me in the office going, oh, so you're watching the FIFA, I heard you're a football fan. And I was like, not that type of football.
The wrong football. That is of the English version of football.
No, I was like, my
not the American. This is the English version of football.
I was like, nah, sorry, no football.
So, yeah, so I was explaining rugby league in the terms of NFL, and then like that, she just got it. Like, cause,
and who's her team now?
Oh, it's St. George.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought she normally chose one that wasn't yours.
No, well, because we'd seen St. George previously when they were good and now they're terrible. Like, they are bottom. And they lost against Saturday night. They shouldn't have, but they lost against Saturday night. And it's kind of like St. George, patron saint of England. They play in red and white, colour of the English flag. I'd say it kind of happened. No other reason. Had I have not chosen them the day when we went, because when we went the first time, we actually went to the Anzac game, and that happens between the Roosters and St. George. Sorry if you've tuned in for NFL, but you're getting this. And that would have meant had I have chosen the other team that day, because I was told by the crowd, you must pick a team. You don't come to this game without a team. I would have been the same team as John.
I would have liked that for
John. Because he's a Roosters fan as well.
That's fine.
So I'm glad I'm not. Not for them, but I'm glad there was some difference there. So, anyway, Rugby League, NFL, what's your view? Do you think it's like for like or not? Maybe we could cut this section and maybe someone might let us know. That means we'd have to go at Australia.
You telling me.
At WAS.
That this is what you would like, huh?
Well, I'm just kind of giving you some kind of light. You're probably going, this is the last thing we need on an American football show, you talking about rugby league for 5 minutes.
It's fine, I will just write it here, otherwise I won't do it because I won't remember it.
And I think that you've been shopping, have you?
I previewed this two months ago. Oh, not that. I thought you were talking about my hat.
I thought you'd been shopping. It's only because I'm excited about this.
I bought Darren a Thai Red Bull because I saw it, and I thought Darren can now try different Red Bulls I find in different places from different parts of the world. I wonder if it's the same colour.
What if I die from drinking it?
I don't think you'd die. It's got a nutrition grade of D.
Well, to be fair, that's better than the normal Red Bull nutrition grade. Is there a nutrition grade below D?
I don't know. It's a shelf life of 14 months. It was actually made in Vietnam.
Oh.
So that's even more interesting. But it's imported into Singapore first and then makes its way here.
I'm not going to die from drinking this, am I?
No, but it's quite a cute little can.
It is a very... But apparently, isn't the overseas version, aren't they potent AF?
I don't know. I haven't tried it.
My understanding is it's potent AF.
You're just checking your heart. You're just that's touching right. it and like saying it's this.
It's almost going, boom, 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 just in my hands. So I'm really looking forward to trying this. Thank you. Is this your... Let's try drinks from around the world.
It's just Red Bull
from around the world.
It's the start. We'll give it a go.
I feel like I need to drink that on camera or something, but obviously we can't do that in the studio.
No, I thought we'd do it afterwards and I'll film you.
Is that my social?
Yes, that's one of your socials, yes.
Oh, wonderful. Right. Should we get into it?
Yes. Would you like me to hit the food poll or food facts?
Food facts?
Food facts.
Whoa!
That's impossible.
That is correct.
Wow.
So, you challenged me.
I challenged you.
Last week. Because our food poll was very generic this week. You said, after I talked about a certain food last week, could you make it sound interesting?
Can you make it sound interesting?
Can I make it sound interesting? For those that didn't listen last week, not only shame on you.
But shame on Liz.
But shame on you. And DT challenged me to present on the history of lettuce. And what was bizarre is the same Craig, sent me a note on Messenger and went, do you know what? I cannot wait for the history of lettuce. I cannot wait for the history of lettuce. So, Craig, I know you'll be listening. Not live, but recorded. This is for you. The history of lettuce. Here we go. Overview. Lettuce, Lactusa sativa. By its Latin name. Has a surprisingly wild history. Evolving over 6,000 years from a bitter prickly weed, sounds like me, in the Caucasus into the globally popular salad style. I won't call it globally popular.
I just like
this. Does everybody go, yeah, I'm down for lettuce? No good story ever starts with a salad, right?
But it's a prickly Caucasian.
Caucasus. C-A-U-C-A-S-U-S, Caucasus. Mm-hmm. Into the globally popular salad staple we know and love today. Loves a bit of a stretch. Here are the most fascinating historical facts about lettuce. Number one, and I have 10. Strapping. Grown for all those people that keep going, where's the NFL? Get to the NFL.
You're going to have to
wait. Get on board. Grown for oil first.
How?
Ancient Egyptians originally cultivated lettuce around 2700 BC. Primarily for its oil-rich seeds rather than its leaves.
Huh.
Interest factor? Not added. Between 1 and 10? Where does that rank on your interest factor?
I wonder what kind of oil. Like burning oil or like, I just wonder.
That doesn't rank highly on your interest factor.
I'm trying to think of what type of oil trade.
I'll try and see if it's here later. Mm-hmm. An ancient aphrodisiac, number 2. Could be peaking early with this one. When the stems of wild lettuce are cut, they release a milky white sap, technically a form of latex. Because of this fluid and the plant's upright stature, ancient Egyptians viewed it as a phallic symbol.
Yes, well, certain types of...
And dedicated it to Min, the god of fertility.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to come back to find out your favourite fact. The original Viagra... Leading on to the one before, because of its association with the god Min, lettuce was consumed by Egyptians to boost virility, sexual potency, and stamina.
How many of your facts are 18?
We drop down a level. Nature's sleep aid.
Okay.
None of it's bought. None of it's gone across the watershed. I haven't used curse words. I haven't used bad words.
It's very interesting. It's very adult-tinged.
From dessert. Oh, no, nature's sleep aid, sorry. The ancient Greeks and Romans prized lettuce for its sedative, not seductive, properties. See, like that turn. The milky sap contains a sleep-inducing substance called lacticarium, earning the plant nickname like sleepwort among the Anglo-Saxons. From dessert to appetizer, because early lettuce was very bitter, Romans and Greeks served it at the end of a meal as a digestive to induce sleep. It wasn't until growers selectively bred out the bitterness that lettuce became an appetizer at the beginning of a meal. Roman salads. The Romans created the very first version of a salad, deriving their name from the Latin word salata. In brackets, salted greens. They served their greens with oil, vinegar, and salt. We're getting there. I know you're not feeling this, are you?
No, I'm just thinking it's very oil-themed.
Columbus brought it to the Americas. Christopher Columbus introduced lettuce to the New World, not the supermarket, the New World, during its second voyage in 1493. I think this is the fact. I think this is the winner. How iceberg got its name. as in the lettuce.
Yes, I know what the latest iceberg is.
The popular iceberg lettuce variant got its name in the 20th century from the practice of packing the crisp heads into crushed ice to transport them across the United States without spoiling.
Does that work? Because you know when you put water on lettuce, it goes kind of floppy.
I guess floppier when you put it on a burger.
It's just sad.
Wilts. The Emperor's Cure. Roman Emperor Augustus Caesar was so convinced lettuce cured him as a serious illness, he built a statue in its honour.
Where is it?
Could you imagine? I don't know. We've got to find that out. But Oakuni in New Zealand has the carrot. And in Gore, they have the trout. Somewhere in the Roman world, there's possibly a lettuce.
Wow. I think Rome.
Final fact. I'm there. Not so distant cousins. Lettuce is a member of the sunflower family. It is botanically related to daisies, zinnias, and even chrysanthemums.
Chrysanthemums. I like that word.
What is your favourite fact?
Probably the Egyptian oils, but I'm just trying to think what they used the oil for. Because was it a tradable product for them? Because you don't hear about that specific type of oil being used in the trade world.
Lettuce oil.
Do you know what I mean? Like, was it more just like used in machinery? Like, what type of oil did it produce? Was it a fragrant-based thing? So the Egyptian used a lot of fragrances, I don't know.
Interesting, yeah, the milky white sap. So did dandelions and a few of those plants have that stuff.
I can't say if you asked if I wanted my lettuce with milky white sap, I think I would say no.
No.
Personally.
What's your favourite way to lettuce?
To lettuce? Probably salad.
Yeah. Caesar. It's got to be Caesar.
With croutons and bacon and whatnot. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the chicken.
Yeah.
But no.
What?
None of those fish things they put in them.
What's that fish?
Anchovies. Yeah. Disgusting. They are rank. I went to a pizza shop, I won't name it, once, and they accidentally put anchovies all over it, and I bit into it. Oh.
So could you not see that they were on it?
I thought they were like mushroomy things at first.
Okay, yeah.
It wasn't until I put it in my mouth, bit, and then smelt and taste, I was like...
Yeah, especially the pizza anchovies are not high quality anchovies.
No, that was rank.
Mm-mm.
Should we food poll?
We shall food poll.
And here we are. This week's food poll was finishing off the trio of burger polls.
Burger.
It was. They're not around anymore, are they?
No, they're sort of around. There's a few shops.
Yes.
Burger.
What are your go-to sauces and condiments on a burger?
Burger.
Excuse me.
Burger.
So here we go. We'll start off with some comments first. Reese was disgusted that ketchup was there. If I wanted to ingest chemicals all day, I'd go to work for Monsanto. Whitlock's tomato chutney sauce is the correct answer. This sort of behaviour is why your sort do not win at the World Cup.
Too basic.
That was a bit. No, he's in New Zealand. That's very anti-English winning the World Cup there. Having a shot. He said, was that too soon? And I'm like, it's always too soon when England lose. Reese, take that on board. So more comments. Even Corin couldn't help himself.
None of these options are
as salty as an English football supporter right now. I mean, is there any need? Is there any need?
You came third, didn't
we
you?
We came third, but that ain't first. That's like losing in the AFC or NFC Championship. We're going, oh, well, we came third. Didn't get to go to the final. Didn't win the final.
Even the Super Bowl loser, really.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a few where you actually remember the loser of the Super Bowl. Half the time, you don't actually remember who they played.
No, that's true. Who was second? No one.
It's only if they lost in terrible fashion, i.e. Bucks versus Chiefs or Panthers situation versus the Broncos comes to mind. Where you remember how they lost because it was
hard.
Or the Seattle versus Broncos where the ball went over the place and that was very bad.
Safety into about the first minute of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go through. There wasn't many comments this week. Lots of votes, no comments. Apart from Reese. and Corin, who just used the poll as an excuse to make anti-English tea statements.
Chimichurri on a burger? Because that one kind of threw me a bit.
Yeah, well, I did some research of different parts of the world and stuff, and that came on. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So there was a lot of very small votes.
Very small, okay.
Very small votes. Mm-hmm. Other was one. I don't even know what other was.
Cool.
Ranch. Other, ranch, hot spicy chili, chimichurri, blue cheese sauce,
mm-hmm.
mustard, all got 2%.
Okay.
Mustard was like, no one was down on mustard. Yeah. You were down on mustard.
I like mustard.
Yeah. Not on.
You don't like mustard.
No.
That's fine.
No.
It's to the own.
It is. Just that my opinion's
can
correct.
Can I, special burger sauce?
Yes.
I think that one?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was officially classed as a sauce. You go to the supermarket, you can buy it. It's in little squeezy things.
Isn't it normally just aioli and ketchup?
Well, it's called special burger sauce. Whenever I've tasted it, it's tasted like Big Mac sauce.
Big Mac sauce.
Big Mac sauce.
Are we allowed to
say
that?
I had to be careful. I know, I had to be careful because are we allowed to advertise? Probably not. But I'm not advertising. I'm just making a statement.
Just like that.
Yes, it just slipped out.
You happen to be loving it.
I did, because I do love Big Mac sauce.
Yeah.
Sriracha mayo got 5%. Let's get into the big numbers now, because that gets away. Oh, I only got 9. So it didn't quite make the double-digit threshold. But there were 4 sauces that did.
That
barbecue
well.
Sauce?
Yes.
16.
Yes.
Tied with special burger sauce? 16.
Again, okay.
Can be bought at the supermarket.
I don't know what it is, but yeah.
That only leaves 2.
Ketchup.
One of them.
Or tomato sauce, as most people call it here.
Mayo. Is the other one. Mayo.
See, I prefer aioli to mayo, personally, on a burger.
Mayonnaise got 19.
What do you prefer, mayo or aioli?
I'm not a massive fan of either. I'm Sriracha mayo.
Aioli's got the, like,
it's got a little
garlic.
Bit of the stuff in it, yeah. Mayo could be a bit blank on it. And then ketchup, tomato sauce, whatever you want to call it. 23.
Mm-hmm.
And there we have it. Another week, another poll, another load of arguments, more whinging. But we get through them every single week, and people still keep coming back for them.
I know, and then we get through them and I press the sound. Hello, all our NFL fans. Here is the news.
Yeah, here is the NFL show. Quicker this week than previous weeks.
Let's go. Do you want to start off?
I can do. Ravens sign Ethan Pocic, I think. Pocic. The Baltimore Ravens and free agent center Ethan Pocic agreed a 1-year contract, and he is officially being cleared to participate in training camp.
Other Ravens news, defensive tackle Matt Ebike looks like he will be coming back to the football field, which is very cool because he had what was potentially a career-ending neck injury, so that's always nice when you have those happy stories.
And the Saints have finally reached an agreement with Alvin Kamara to rework his contract to remain on the team.
Did you hear how that happened, though?
No.
The owner, she came down and she said she wanted him to stay here. And so they had to get it done.
I can't see him on any other team.
No,
he's just
really.
One of those players.
Mm. He's like Cam Jordan from the Saints, yeah.
You next.
Jettis McNair, unfortunately, has passed away for the Houston Texans. So very sad at age 89. But yeah, so R.I.P.
Pickens to play on tag. Pittsburgh said, well, George Pickens is playing this upcoming season on the $27.3 million franchise tag after the deadline passed.
Other Cowboys news, Charles Snowden has been suspended for the first 3 weeks due to a DUI incident.
Seahawks roster move. The Seahawks have placed nose tackle Devon Easton on the physically unable to perform list as training camp approaches.
And then probably one of the larger news points of the week, the NFL suspends Cardinals personal executive Ryan Gold indefinitely for violating the league gambling policy and betting on NFL games among a slew of other violations, and also he is apparently appealing this. I'm not sure how that's going to go, because he had, I believe, over 1,000 infractions, which feels a bit...
He probably went to the betting office and went, I'm going to put a bet that Jacoby Brissett does not get an improved contract by the start of the season.
He also apparently released inside information to numerous people that the Cardinals were planning to draft Love. So, there you go.
Quarterback Will Greer has announced his retirement from the NFL.
He was the guy who always did it with the Bears, wasn't he? Hmm. We should take the airport photo and be like, and another team cut me. I always appreciate that. And then some sort of happy news, Titans will induct Chris Johnson into their Ring of Honor in week one. So that's sort of happy. Do you have any college news?
I've got a bit of college news. I've got one more NFL. Push for natural grass.
Yes.
NFL players have launched a social media campaign advocating for permanent natural grass fields across the league, citing its worth following the recent World Cup.
Yeah, FIFA's already ripped up most of the stadiums.
That's
apparently
right. Destroyed them.
God. Sorry.
Into college news, Texas Tech's major stadium rebrand. Texas Tech announced a landmark 15-year naming rights partnership with the digital asset firm Galaxy. The Red Raiders' home field is officially rebranding as Galaxy Stadium.
Indiana lands its highest-rated commit in program history with five-star wide receiver Monshon Sales.
Michigan's AD's future is in limbo. Michigan Athletic Director Waddle Manuel's future is in with the university is uncertain as the Board of Regents addresses internal reviews and the program navigates administrative transitions.
I have no other college news. Do you have anything else to
I do
through?
Have a couple. Yes. NCAA implements new eligibility rules. The NCAA passed a major reform allowing the 5-for-5 age-based eligibility framework and clear transitioning FCS team to immediately qualify for the college football playoff in year one. ACC Media Day reaction buzzes high around the ACC following their media days. Headlines include the ongoing debate over conference title tiebreaker rules and Miami's quarterback pivot to Duke transfer Darian Mensah. Finally, Congress pushes the college sports bill. Lawmakers are actively trying to rework and finalize the Protect College Sports Act before the August recess, aiming to address NIL, revenue sharing, and sweeping realignment.
Beautiful.
There you go. Some college news. It's all a bit, it's not like college news, but yeah.
Oh no.
Oh my God, oh my God, this is happening.
Wow.
So this week we are going with a Darren favourite. We are ranking offences in the NFL and college in no particular order because it was a bit difficult to try and order them 1 to 10. I did try have a go, but it is sometimes a bit difficult to compare the two.
So hard to compare college with NFL and... I'm glad that you finally come over to the dark side of offense. I know it's next week you're going to be so much more excited.
It's not the defense is normally the dark side.
This is the dark side to you. You almost ignore that offense exists.
I'm very happy on the dark side.
I know.
Very happy.
But this is the dark side to you because you don't even recognize that offense exists in a game.
I do.
When offense is on the field, you just go, I'm going to make a drink.
That's who I'm playing, defense. Do you want to start off with number one, or should I start off with who I thought was pretty much quite obviously the best offense?
You go with what you think is number one.
Sean McVay and the Rams. I just think there are multiple disciples of the Shanahan McVay across the league. There's like good examples as well. It's not just like they pair off and they're not that great, but like you've got Mike McDaniels, you've got Liam Cohen over the Jags. They're also two highly rated offenses. The Rams have MVP Matthew Stafford. They've got one of the best wide receivers, Puka Nacua. They have the red zone three Adams, and now they have a very strong tight end room to run their 13 personnel. So I think all in all, he just schemes up very well. And I have to say, still to this day, one of my favourite games ever was in the LA Coliseum with the Rams versus the Chiefs, where it was like 56-52. Yeah. Yep.
I struggled to come up with number one because I look at like the five or six NFL teams I've got, and I was like, there's probably a case for any of them.
Mm-hmm.
It would be no surprise. Well, I was kind of down to two.
Mm-hmm.
No surprise, the Cincinnati Bengals were there. Joe Burrow, who I think is the best passer in the
issue
NFL.
I have with the Bengals is their players outperform their scheme and their coaching. Do you know what I mean? Like, their players are so good, and then I feel like their coaching doesn't reach that level.
No.
And that's where I feel like there's almost a mismatch in that. It just feels like it's the Burrow show, which is fine, but it'd be great if you put him with a really good scheme. And he does now have a great offensive line this year, I think, for the first time in a while, this is the best offensive line he's played with Mims from last year. The pickup seems to look really good there.
Burrow, Chase, Higgins, Brown, not bad.
And also Gesicki this year as well, yes. The tight end.
Mm-hmm. Who else have you got? I had the Rams on my list, by the way. I had Devontae Adams on that list. And Williams at running back as well.
49ers, got Shanahan. Even when everyone's injured, he still somehow brings a great offense. Like, it's just overall really great. I think Brock Purdy can operate it really well. And, yeah, Mike Evans will be an interesting factor because I think it adds a lot when you've got that big-body wide receiver and Purcell can kind of work in the middle and underneath.
Yeah, Kirk, McCaffrey, Kittle.
Yeah,
I got 49ers as well. Mm-hmm. 3 for 3 at the moment.
Another one I have, which might be a surprise, but I don't think it's a surprise, the Cowboys' offense, because that was not the issue last year. Dak Prescott plays very well at the line of scrimmage. I find the Schottenheimer offense kind of is very different to every other offense. The scheme is interesting. Dak actually commands the line and changes the play at the line of scrimmage. They've got a good O-line that's pretty much just the all Tylers, which is hilarious to me. And the running game, hopefully he stays healthy, but you never know. So that's kind of the only concern. But you have two of probably, you could arguably say, of the top three wide receiver duos in Pickens and CeeDee Lamb.
How many college teams did you pick?
I picked 4 college teams.
I picked 4. So we've gone 3 out of 4 on NFL teams because I did not pick the Cowboys. I did have them for consideration, but I didn't pick them. I had the Eagles.
Eagles.
The Eagles. Hurts, Barkley, Smith, Brown, Moore, Goddard. That's a very good.
Lemon.
That's a very good. And Lemon, yes. They got a very good line there.
I hope their line, because their line fell off last year. And now they've got rid of Jeff Stoutland, so that'll be interesting to see where that comes up this year.
I mean, Devontae Smith, Elijah Moore, Hollywood Brown. And then Saquon at the back. I know, but quite experienced as well.
I have the Bills, and that's mainly just because Josh Allen is the best quarterback in the league. He's the most entertaining to watch. And then he's also paired with a very good running back in James Cook. I really hope that the addition of DJ Moore will help them a lot. So, yeah, that's where I came out to with the Bills.
Did you have the Bengals?
Yeah, I did have the Bengals. Okay.
So there's only one we disagreed on then? You had the Cowboys.
I also have the Chargers.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm. That's just the run game. I'm not going to talk about the Chargers game because I feel like I've talked about the Chargers a lot, but I do like Mike McDaniel.
Because you've got the Bengals, the Rams, the Eagles.
I think I have 11.
You have 11.
Yeah.
Sneaky, cheeky.
Chargers.
I did look at the Chargers and I went, nah. We're going to be coming on to this discussion later in another segment. Spoiler alert. My 16 was the Denver Broncos. And I know you're going to go, they've got no running game. But
no,
they've
I
got-
found, did you... Because I know that, like, you obviously listen to all the camp news as well. Did you hear about how Sean Payton kept overruling some of the plays that the offense coordinator was putting in last year? And I'm just quite concerned about that situation because he is not calling the plays this year. Is he going to allow that to happen?
Let the guy call some plays.
Do you know what I mean?
Otherwise,
like, I'm very
just
concerned.
Don't give the plays to the guy.
Yeah. So I'm a bit concerned about that situation when that started coming out that he decided. So he went to bed and then he woke up at 4 a.m. messaged him, went, nah, we're going with my play, not yours. And that sort of behaviour is not going to work.
No, and that's very Sean Payton behaviour.
Yeah, and that doesn't work in a team environment. So, yeah. So I'm very interested to see how this is going to go for the Broncos. Also, Bo Nix injured, so hopefully he comes back.
Yeah, but Nix, who really, had he have not broken his ankle, would have been at a Super Bowl. Nix, Dobbins, Sutton, Waddle, Ingram, and the O-line, which has recently just been voted the best O-line
in the
NFL. So let's have a look. So I reckon, you know, we'll part the Chargers. 5 out of 6 agreement.
Yeah.
This is not how sports shows are meant to be.
Well, I'm sorry. It's very hard to choose the other team.
I know. There was. I looked at other teams, and I looked at the Chiefs, and I looked at the Lions. I looked at the Packers, who were being highly touted. And
I'm also
concerned,
because the Broncos had a bit of a fall-off in terms of play calling last year. It wasn't of the Sean Payton caliber that had been with the Saints. Like, he's just got a bit... Similar to Andy Reid, in that they've just their scheme's got a bit stale.
Hmm.
So,
and that's why the hope that they'd allow someone else to play call...
Very concerning.
Let's see who your 4 college teams are. Do you want to start with your first?
Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yes.
Julian Zayn, Jeremiah Love. Just a very stable organization, I think, will be fine.
Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator. And Ryan Day, of course, back. Mm-hmm. Even though it's typed up in my spreadsheet as Ray Day. Ryan Day. Yes, Ohio State Buckeyes. I have them. Miami Hurricanes.
I do have them, yes.
The pass-heavy air raid scheme. Malachi How good's Tony. That?
Malachi Tony.
Mario Cristobal returns as head coach. Shannon Dawson as offensive coordinator. Duke. Mark Fletcher.
The Duke quarterback coming over. Mensah.
Yes, Darian Mensah. Malachi Tony. Cooper Barkatti at wide receiver.
I got the Quack Quack Ducks. Dante Moore could have been number one overall pick this year, potentially. He could have come out, but he's not. He's coming out next year, and he's going back to the Ducks for another year.
Well, that's because he stank last year.
Mm-hmm.
When he really was. They said that he was going to be the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
So Dan Lanning as head coach, Drew Meheringa as offensive coordinator. And they've got a huge amount of sophomore players, as you said, Dante Moore. Jordan Davison at running back, Dakorian Moore at wide receiver. They are looking at... Are we going to go 9? Are we going to go 9 out of 10? Ha ha! Look at
him! Look at him.
Yep. Texas Longhorn, Steve Sarkisian as head coach and Kyle Flug as offensive coordinator.
And Arch Manning.
A quarterback. He's got to have... He actually was coming good the end of last year.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I think it just...
That first game of the season, who did they play? Was it Ohio State? It was, I think, wasn't it? I remember I was watching that in my hotel room in North Carolina, blissfully unaware that I was in the wrong state to go to Clemson, and then realised. KJ Lacy is the backup QB, so they've got strong backup QB. Ryan Wingo, highly regarded wide receiver. And then the Arizona State transfer, Relique Brown. And North Carolina State transfer, Hollywood Smothers. What a great name.
Smothers.
Hollywood Smothers. Which are their two running backs for the season.
Beautiful.
9 out of 10.
I'm
going to give you a high five there. I don't reckon we're going to go that well with defenses next week.
It'll be interesting to see.
I reckon you'll come up with some mad, schemey type
I can already...
I think we know where one of... And I think we know one of the others are going to be as well.
Boom. Seattle as well, obvious.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Oh, we're giving the game away already.
Oh, no, but there's three very obvious defenses.
Who's the third then?
Broncos.
Of course.
Yeah. There's three very obvious. They were actually like historic last year. You can't not put them back. So yeah,
even with what's happened at trade, even what's happened with trade and with what's happened with free agency.
Really lose anyone, and they kind of gained some talent. They've got a few questions outside of the building for a few of their defensive playmakers that we won't go into, but that is also interesting. Texans just added more to their defense instead of going on offense, which was amusing, and the Seahawks didn't really lose anyone because they replaced them in the draft.
So between me and you, and everyone that's listening to this show, we've all got to pretend the last 2 minutes didn't happen, so that when we came back next week, we go, oh, you wouldn't believe what I've got at number one.
Oh, so shocking. I choose a Houston Texans defense.
Fancy. Anyway,
shall I go to the AFC South with the Houston
Let's
Texans?
Let's do it.
Let's go!
Oh, where's the squeaky door?
That's on the previous one.
Was that on the previous one? Damn it. I was ready. I almost did the, what's it there?
The sprinkler. Yeah. Sprinkler. Yeah.
Here we go. AFC South, which team would you like to start?
I want to actually start with the most interesting team in this division. That's the Jags, because I don't really know what to think of them. Because I feel like they didn't do anything.
No. Well, my little intro is they enter the 2026 NFL season, highly competitive playoff contender.
So both the Jags and the Texans are both over-unders 9.5. So they're kind of tied expectations to win the division. I think the Jaguars lost quite a few key players, and Ogba on the edge and Devin Lloyd on the defense, and Andrew Wingard in safety is kind of the middle of their defense. And then Travis Etienne as well, who was a very good running back and actually appeared in the top 100 this year.
Yes.
Achan, however he would like his name pronounced.
Yes, Achan. Leon Cohen returns as head coach, which after a 13-4, they're going to have a tough schedule this year. They are being fine-tuned with under defensive pass game coordinator Matthew Araujo, I think that's pronounced.
Yeah. And their defensive coordinator, Dave, that Campanelli is really good too.
Yes. Trevor Lawrence returns as the anchor of the offense. franchise record with 38 touchdowns last season and threw for over 4,000 yards.
I'm excited to see him in year two and Liam Cohen, because I feel like he was starting to get it towards the end of the season. The Jags started looking really good, and I actually thought they could potentially have gone to the Super Bowl if they had kept up with that good offense, but the Bills had other opinions.
Yes, and talking of offense, that has undergone a major overhaul over the last two seasons, featuring reliable starters like Anton Harrison, Patrick McCary, and Robert Hainsey.
So all in all, Jags, I still don't really know what to think of them. It'll be interesting, Travis Hunter now on defense, not offense. Does that then get Brian Thomas Jr. back into the wide receiver room? Hopefully, because I would love to see him back, because he was so fun to watch in his rookie year, so... Yeah,
he kind of almost fell away a little bit, didn't he?
He completely fell off. Like, people thought he might be traded this year. It was quite a fall.
I mean, I did say that they have a tough schedule, but then they open up against the Browns, against Everbank, at Everbank Stadium.
Defense is not an easy out. Although, the Browns defense has lost their defensive coordinator, Jim Schwartz, so... they still have talent over there.
They do have seven games against 2025 playoff teams, including a Week 6 international game against the Houston Texans at Wembley and a Week 9 Thursday night football tilt against the Baltimore Ravens.
And Philly, the week before the Texans game, Philly in the UK as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So they've got a tough schedule, as we expected. Start off relatively okay, but
Browns,
it will
Broncos.
Be interesting.
Browns, Broncos, Patriots.
Yeah.
Bengals.
Have that.
Have fun. Sorry, Jags.
Where would you like to go next?
Do you want to go to the Colts? Because I think, quite seriously, the only real note I have on the Colts is, can you finish a season? Because they have started hot, I feel like, for 5 years in a row and just never closed it out, ever. And they're depending a lot on Alec Pierce and Daniel Jones, both of whom were injured. So, yeah, be interesting.
Well, it's interesting here. Well, I've got the entire campaign rests on the health and performance of Daniel Jones. I mean, that's a pretty average place to be, but then if you look at the Chiefs, the minute that Mahomes fell over last year, they were gone.
Mahomes and Daniel Jones are very different players.
I know, but what you saw, though, is two teams that just could not cope.
Which was interesting, because the Colts did have Jonathan Taylor, who is like their whole offense. It starts with Jonathan Taylor.
I'll drop the ball before the goal line, Taylor.
Yep, but still a good, I would say, most teams would take him as their running back, I would say.
They reckon the 10th year Chris Ballard and head coach Shane Steichen in his 4th year are on the hot seat.
They're definitely
on the
hot seat.
They have to perform this year.
They lost a lot, and quite a few interesting comments on the people who left the defense. The defensive coordinator came over, Lou Anamoromo from the Bengals, wasn't particularly happy in his departure there, came to the Colts, and then quite a few players have willingly left the Colts defense and did not want to re-sign. So that's always an interesting thing to see when you see a shift in kind of culture on one side of the ball.
I mean, it's interesting to me, they're saying the Shane Steichen needs a strong start with rumours swirling that Mike Tomlin, I can't see Mike Tomlin going to the Colts. He's going Cowboys or someone.
No, but he would have the exact same problem that he had in Pittsburgh, is who the hell is your quarterback?
Yes.
I think he would want to go somewhere where there's a definite quarterback that he doesn't have to have a question about.
But he doesn't care.
No, he must care.
Apart from Roethlisberger, he's never really cared about quarterback.
I know, but he needs to care.
Need to care. Their schedule highlights is that they open against the Baltimore Ravens. I've seen an over-under of them set as low as 7.5 and as high as 10.
Yes, I've got 8.5 here.
Yeah. Chiefs week 2, Commanders week 4, Texans week 11. It don't get any easier.
Texans week 3 as well.
I'm week 3.
You're like, geez, yeah. Good luck to
Ravens,
you.
Ravens, blank, Texans, Chiefs.
To be fair, the Steelers Commanders. And Ravens defense hopefully is better this year, but they haven't been that great in previous years.
Yeah, Ravens, Chiefs, Texans, Commanders, 1-4. Mm-hmm. Have that.
Titans.
Yes.
Over under is 6.5.
You love this team.
No, I just love it for the Titans fans because, geez, they've had a tough run for the last few years. So I like it for them. I hope they do well. They have lost a good tight end, though, in Chig and Conquo. Geez. should I say that?
Chicken a Congo.
But yeah, I'm excited. I hope that Cam Ward can develop with Brian Daboll here, showing that he does seem to be able to develop young quarterbacks. So that would be great, because he just needs to be more consistent. He's almost similar to kind of the Caleb Williams in that he does too many hero ball moments, and he actually just needs to play to the scheme of the offense. So that would be interesting. I was surprised they didn't add anyone to the running back room, though.
You may or may not know this, but Mike Hoskin is an enormous NFL fan, and he's been watching the quarterback series. And he loves Joe Flacco, thinks he's a real guy and
with
all this.
Oh,
hates, not hates, just found Cam Ward to be dull as anything.
I just
didn't really resonate with him at all.
What's interesting is because he doesn't say much. He goes fishing in his spare time for 8 hours a day. Like, I don't think he is someone who is of, like, the showy quality.
And if anybody should understand that, it's Mike Hoskin, who openly hates socializing with people and is a comfort in his own company, so which is exactly
he just
Cam
goes
Ward.
Fishing, like, and that's fine if that's your thing. I think, yeah, they've completely remade their D-line, their defense. I'm very excited for the Titans fans this year. I think you couldn't be worse than last year, to be honest with you.
I thought I'd give Hoskin a shout out because he needs some help with ratings, and obviously being associated with our show is going to help him, so that's for you, Hosk.
Do we want to be associated with him? And now let's talk about the team on my cap.
Oh.
The Houston Texans, who just added more on defense this year. Not, like, doesn't really need anything, but yeah, let's add a new defensive tackle. Just, yeah, it was great. I enjoyed it. I think it'll be a good year again. They managed to hold on to their defensive coordinator, which I thought was surprising because he obviously did very well. And really, CJ Stroud is similar. Almost, I think he's like the Herbert of the South, in that he actually plays very well in the regular season. Then I have no idea what happened to him in playoffs.
Oh, absolutely. That throw, against the Patriots, yes.
So, yeah, that's pretty much the big question, is can the offense match the defense?
Nick Caley a master offensive coordinator?
No, it would be interesting to see his second year, because CJ Stroud has had quite a bit of turnover at offensive coordinator. So
obviously, offensive overhaul, David Montgomery.
And his best friend's back, Tank Dell, which, as I said, I'm very happy to see him back, because that was a horrific knee injury. So
Collins.
Nico Collins is a good wide receiver, yeah.
Joining rookie speedsters Jaden Higgins and Jalen Newell.
And they also added two tight ends in Foster Monroe and Dalton Schultz, got re-signed as well.
10 starters returning on defense, bringing unparalleled continuity. I'd say Denver would be pretty close. Because I don't think they lost particularly, and Seahawks.
Yeah,
I don't think either of those
all
lost.
Three of those, that's what I said earlier, all three of those defenses are good. And they didn't lose, none of them lost their defensive coordinator.
Will Anderson Jr. is generating buzz as he is looking to challenge the franchise's single season sack record.
I'll be in, because Daniil Hunter's there.
Yes.
And I think they will cancel them out. They did both have a lot of sacks, though. So,
yes.
Yeah. And their main loss was Christian Kirk in the wide receiver room.
Did we ever cover off the under over on the Titans?
Six and a half.
You had 6.5?
Yeah. I think they could get 5 or 6 wins. So probably under what I'd take in the Titans.
I think they could possibly sneak a couple in division.
Yeah.
Not out the Texans. But they could steal one against the Jags, and they could steal one against...
Oh, because the Titans' defense is going to be good.
Yes. Because obviously John Franklin Myers, Jermaine Johnson.
Yeah. They've completely redid their D-line. Like,
yes.
The only person really left is Jeffrey Simmons. So.
And, of course, they've got Salah there.
Yeah. So it's going to be a good defense. You know the defense is going to be there. Hopefully the offense develops well.
Talking of Salah, they open against the Jets and then followed week 3 matchup against the Giants.
So excited for the Jets rematch. Yeah. Oh, God, that's going to be so good.
And they've got a bye week in 9, so yeah. They...
it'll be fun.
That's there. But the other thing to think of as well, it's a big year for them as far as stadium goes.
Yes.
Nissan Stadium. Bye-bye. There's last season playing there.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some emotion as well, right? So.
Oh, well, should we move on to what I think you're excited to get to? Because you don't want to talk about the Houston Texans defense anymore.
I do not. So we are here, Monday Night Showdown. Welcome.
Welcome.
Are you ready to be showdowned?
I don't know what that means, but sure.
We're going to go toe-to-toe. It
makes me nervous.
We're going to draw the gun. So last week, ESPN released their top 10 QB list,
mm-hmm.
which I personally found farcical. Did you share my farcicalness in their top 10 list of who was actually in it and not in it? Me personally, I think there should be at least four quarterbacks that should not be on that list.
What was interesting is most people from, because I saw the list, and to be honest, I don't actually think much of these top 10 lists, because you don't know who's actually.
This is like, meant to be backroom staff, back staff, and.
Yeah, but I don't think that many people actually do it. And also, I think, unfortunately, as you've talked about earlier this season, quite a lot of these lists are heavily impacted by agents and stuff, and like business moves and all of that. So I don't know how much I really put value into these lists, if that makes sense.
Josh Allen at one.
Yes, that makes sense to me.
No.
He's a number one overall quarterback. Yeah, no.
Can't make it work. Can't win. Can't do it.
Who would you put at number one then?
Me, at the moment. You'd be horrified by this.
You're going to put Jalen Hurts?
No.
Okay.
Jalen Hurts isn't even on that list. That's farcical enough in itself.
No, I was just, head I thought, because you'd quite like Jalen Hurts.
So I do like Jalen Hurts. At the moment, I would put Matthew Stafford.
Number one, yeah. Look at that.
Made it, he's made it happen, continues to play at a high level. Josh Allen, he's got the tools, as in, like, you know, he can run. But he's going to end up like Cam Newton. He's going to eventually be battered out of the game.
Well, that's the other thing. What are you are you valuing them as individual players, or are you valuing them as, like, team, like with their team situation? Because then it just gets a bit hard as to what you're going to talk about with a quarterback.
I think you have to value them as their ability to coach, because everyone looks at the quarterback as the captain.
Because Matthew Stafford, until he got into Sean McVay's offense, was probably not a top five quarterback.
But if you looked at his numbers in Detroit, he had zero receivers.
He did not win.
And he was putting up tens.
Sorry, he had Calvin Johnson for 8 years.
Oh.
Megatron, are you going to say
that's
it?
Nothing.
Receiver.
There was nothing. Oh,
there
was
Golden
offensive
Tate,
line.
Golden Tate. There was, what's his name? Oh, I can't remember.
Josh Allen would be in the top five. Mahomes at two, coming off that injury.
I was surprised by that.
Yeah. I thought he would be lower.
Mm-hmm.
I was more surprised by Lamar Jackson at five.
I was surprised he was that high too, yeah. That's what I think. I think this list is really valuing individual, like it's more of the talent of the quarterback than the actual
one. I question him being in the 10 at all.
Yeah, I know. I know how you feel about Lamar Jackson. You do not like him.
Oh, nowhere near as much as somebody else on that list at number 10.
Who do you actually want to put in this list then?
Well, I'll tell you who I would personally take out. Would you take anyone out? Because this is my showdown to you, sir.
I don't know the whole list off my heart. Sorry. I think I have looked at it, but I didn't. I don't know off my heart, no.
Unfortunately, I'm going to tell you who I think shouldn't be on the list. But
I assumed Caleb Williams would be out for you. Drake May, I think he played well. So I would put him.
But against a horrifically weak roster. Schedule.
So I would leave Drake May in there. Justin Herbert is fine. Lamar Jackson, I think it's just historic. His career is why he's in there. Brock Purdy, I think, was surprising that he's not in there to me. Was the one that I thought was interesting, because I was like, oh, I would probably put Brock Purdy higher than I think lots of people do, because I think he plays the quarterback position very well.
Yes.
So,
especially seeing as he was Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah, so I sometimes surprised at where he lands on people's lists.
So personally, Caleb Williams, I would take out.
Yeah, no.
I his completion rate is dog.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs around, and yes, he throws the odd miracle ball, but he's been in the NFL for 1.5 weeks, and to me has proven nothing. Has been massively overhyped since the minute he arrived, and wasn't actually that great at USC. Drake May, I'd like to see what he does this year when he's got to face some real teams this year. Because when he faced one in the Super Bowl, he was almost like Sam Darnold ghosts.
We faced the Broncos defense was good and the Texans defense was good. He faced the three hardest defenses in
the row. I think the truth of the matter was, and I think most people admit it, that if he was up against a half-decent quarterback on the other end, they weren't getting out that game. Justin Herbert, we talked about earlier, cannot win outside the regular season.
Yeah, again, I think this list is just individual talent, though, which people like Lamar Jackson and stuff have individual talent.
Yeah, but Lamar Jackson's now lost his speed. That was becoming quite obvious last season. He was getting caught from the back, which is something that he would never do.
He still throws the ball very well from the pocket, though. He's very much developed over the years as quite a good passer.
So I made a list of six who I thought could have replaced anybody on that list.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
Jaden Daniels.
Even with the injuries? Because he's similar to Caleb Williams, and he's very short career in the league at the moment.
But been to an AFC...
NFC.
NFC, sorry, championship game. Brock Purdy.
Mm-hmm. I think Brock Purdy should be in there.
Jordan Love.
Yes, I think Jordan Love is a good quarterback too, yeah.
Sam Darnold, who's just won a Super Bowl and come off back-to-back 14 win seasons.
The thing I think Sam Darnold has...
Two different teams.
I think the thing Sam Darnold has... the previous years and the Jets stink on him, and I honestly think as soon as you go to the Jets you just can't get that stench off you, because even Aaron Rodgers is like, he's struggled to get the Jets stench off him. It's like there's something that curses you if you go and play for the Jets. I don't know what it is,
but I look at it and you go, if this is the 2026 poll, we're not looking at Sam Darnold from 2015.
No,
we're looking from Sam Darnold for the last, and he's gone back to back 14 when in two separate teams.
I'm just saying what's happened is I actually genuinely think the Jets stench just doesn't come off you.
And I would put Sam Darnold at the moment above Dak Prescott, above Jared Goff.
I wouldn't put him above Dak Prescott, but yeah.
But Dak can't win anything either.
Dak Prescott's a good quarterback.
He's a good quarterback. I don't doubt he's a good quarterback. He was, for the half a season last year, he was MVP caliber.
Mm-hmm.
But there again, so was Baker Mayfield. But there again, so was Daniel Jones. There again, you know what I mean? It's like, you got to be able to do it for a whole season.
Well, Dak Prescott did play well for a whole season. It's just defense wasn't there last year.
No.
At all.
And then, I would have... He's down the bottom, and he's probably not in the 10. But he's better than some of these that are in the 10. Bo Nix. He's broken all sorts of records in the first 2 years for wins and stuff like that, touchdowns. He got his team to an AFC championship even though he couldn't play in it. I would have him over Herbert because he won the division over Herbert, over Williams, over May. But he probably wouldn't be in the top 10.
No, Bo Nix is like the Andy Dalton of this generation.
But when I saw the honourable mentions, he wasn't even in the honourable mentions.
Well, like Andy
Which
Dalton was always like 15, 16. That's what I mean. He's like the Andy Dalton. And that you don't really replace him, but you don't exactly get rid of him. So he's like the Andy Dalton for the, like what the Andy Dalton was for the Cincinnati Bengals for years. And that it was hard to replace him because he played fine, but if you were to get a superstar quarterback, you would 1,000% replace him. And what the Bengals did, they went and got Joe Burrow. So,
I mean, it's going to be interesting when we take these quarterbacks and we have to make our NFL predictions. Which ones are these that we think can actually carry their team?
Well, you know I always focus on run game and defense, so I don't particularly care about quarterback.
Apart from the fact that everything runs through the quarterback.
I do care about quarterback. Like, I don't mean it, but quite seriously, the things that got through the playoffs last year was a run game and defense. The quarterback was Sam Darnold versus Drake May. So those weren't the superstar quarterbacks.
The things that I'm looking for this year, probably if we pick this list, how Mahomes and Nix come back from injury, because they both had pretty bad injuries.
Jaden Daniels as well.
Jaden Daniels with the arm.
Burrow with the toe. Like lots of these quarterbacks were very, very injured last year. Or just injured for a few, like even what Lamar Jackson was out 4 games. Like, yeah, all of the, hilariously, one of the most stable quarterbacks who did get injured was Aaron Rodgers.
Can Josh Allen actually go the whole way now he's got an offensive head coach in Joe Brady? Can he actually push it there? Because a lot of criticism was about his previous coach.
No. I
think the window's closed.
Their defense, you'd have to see it.
I'm very interested to see if the new Bengals offensive line...
It looks better this year.
Can do that with Burrow. And I'm very interested to see if in Chicago, if Caleb can't get them to the promised land, how long Ben Johnson will sit there with him.
Well, the issue is they had one of the worst defenses last year, so you also have to overcome that.
They had good offensive weapons.
Yeah,
they've
but you've still got a defense.
You've still got good tight ends.
Still need a defense.
You do. Maybe. In your D world.
Yeah, you're still in your D, but the defense won the Super Bowl last year.
Just keep winning, just keep scoring 70.
Defenses have won Super Bowls most of the previous years.
Well, there we go. That's the showdown done, and that is the end of the show. As always, don't forget to get on those socials and follow, like, and subscribe. That is the end of our show for another week. My name's Darren Lees.
And I'm DT.
Thank you, DT.
Have a good week.
See you next Monday. Can make